Ladies and gentlemen, honorable members, shall we settle and start the meeting? Firstly, I would want us to do a round of introduction, and from there, we then open the meeting in earnest. My name is Fred Gona. I'm the chairperson of this portfolio committee. And on my left, it's our new committee secretary, Ms. Nolitando Skak. She started with us. I'm sorry about this. She started with us in the new year, in February. Then next to her,
Eric Lucas, a member of the committee.
Eric Schmidt, member of the committee.
Eric Marie from the DI, member of the committee.
From PNG.
Faith Bikani, I'm a member of the committee.
No, we said I'm a member of the committee.
Baba Aboyembe.
Kwesile Lobi, committee assistant.
Thank you very much. We will allow space for this other member when she comes back. We haven't been, this is our very first meeting since we come back from the recess. I trust that members have had time to relax, to de-stress, and spend some time with family members, and indeed quite a deserved time, because last year we had quite a hectic pro schedule. Welcome back, and hopefully we will move together again for the entire year, doing what is necessary for us to do as parliamentarians in this portfolio committee. There are some apologies from members who could not make it to today's meeting. We have an apology. Please, Secretary, take us through the apologies that we did receive.
Good morning, honorable member. The first apology is from Ms. L. N. Moss. She apologized that she will not be attending the meeting today, as she is attending a meeting at the ANC Provincial Office in Cape Town. And the last one is from Mr. P. Dexter. He apologized because he's abroad. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any other apologies from members? Nothing? Yes, yes.
Chairperson, I humbly request to leave at 10 to attend another portfolio committee meeting.
Okay. Yes, honorable Marie. She said something, drop a note with the committee secretary so that it can be recorded in our welcome, honorable member. missed out a bit. We have done introduction, so let us know who you are, because this is our very first meeting and of the year.
My name is Vuselelo Makakula. I am a member of this committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Welcome. Can you also do the same?
My name is Gwazim Chongo, founder of the DG Mineral Resources.
Thank you very much. Well, honorable members, I think before us, in terms of the agenda, the very first item would be for us to look at the committee program, particularly focusing on the first term. Welcome, good morning, honorable members. Let's allow you to take your seat. Good morning to the honorable members who just joined us. We have done a round of introduction. Let's allow you the same opportunity to introduce yourselves. Thank you.
Jarvis is my name. She's on the
member of this committee, thank you.
Do the same honors, honorable
member.
Thank you very much. I think for purposes of yourself, let's check if that is working, so that as and when you would want to speak, we are not found wanting.
Okay.
Can you check if that one is that's good. Thank you very much, honorable members. As I've said, that the agenda for today is to mainly look at the first term program, to look at quite a thick documentation of MINA. That we have never had the privilege of receiving, considering and approving. And then lastly, we'll look at the annual, this is activities report, not necessarily an annual report in terms of the content. It basically reflects what meetings were held, what were they for, what meetings were postponed or cancelled, and what oversight work was done, and the trips that were done, and the standard, you know, activities report. So when members look at that report, it was the item on the agenda, it says committee's annual report. In fact, it's activities report. So that when we adopt it, then we know. So the intention would be to really, after looking at those sets of minutes, adopt them and also adopt this activities report. But honorable members, I would want to say this, that as has been declared by leaders in Parliament, both the president, leaders of political parties, repeatedly confirming their support that this year has to be a year of action. And indeed, last year, the fourth parliament was declared as the activist parliament, which means more time would have to be spent, particularly on oversight. We will handle legislation, but legislation will have to be focused and designed to deal with any possible bottlenecks that are found in the process of us doing our oversight work. But what I'm calling and appealing for is that this year we need to deliver. We need to assist the department, we need to assist the industry, all role players in the industry, including labor and other interested parties in the industry, so that we move this industry to a direction that will be fruitful and useful for all South Africans. Indeed, you will see on this program that we are trying to schedule it in such a manner that we're now opening more space for interaction between Parliament and the stakeholders in the sector, so that first and foremost we are informed of concerns and issues pertaining to the success of the industry, and that also we go out and on our own establish the facts of the situation. So I would appeal that therefore this year you would see frequency of meetings would slightly increase as in the program is indicated, and that the purpose indeed is for us to do what we definitely would have to do. But we will discuss when we get to the item on the program. Therefore, honourable members, the program before you starts from today, the 17th, and it ends at the end of this first term. We have a draft program that runs for the period of 5 years, but we would deal with that at an appropriate time. So that we can look at what issues would we want to see covered and done in the next 5 years. The reason for this was that we had to give space for the State of the Nation address. We had to give space for the budget as it is to be presented this afternoon. And out of those activities, pick up if there are issues that would have direct impact on the work that we are supposed to do. Therefore, today is it would be found in your packages on the 17th. We will be dealing with the items as I have indicated. On the 19th of February, which is a Friday, that's when we will present and discuss the 5-year program, and indeed this program seeks to clarify the direction and approach that we would want to take as a portfolio committee. On the 24th of February, which Honorable Smith Murray has indicated that he will not be available, we will be looking at the annual reports that were tabled. If you recall, we interacted with those reports. We asked certain questions for clarity, and would want to allow a situation where the portfolio committee members would again reflect on those reports and with a view that we need to adopt them and then put them on record that we have interacted with them. You would notice that on the 24th, we've set aside almost the whole day because the intention is... the intention is basically to allow a situation where all five of them we handle. If we finish before by lunchtime, so be it. But it's just to make a provision so that we don't indeed, you know, deny members the opportunity to properly, you know, handle those issues if there are still questions for clarity. We're raising this matter with a very clear hope that you do have those annual reports in possession, and therefore you would reflect on them beforehand. And if there are questions that you still have, then the department would be here. You can be able to answer those questions. The 26th of February, we have been approached by this company. I mean, as I indicated, that we would want to indeed translate our work to reflect the character of the fourth parliament being an activist parliament, and therefore allowing stakeholders to come and talk to us on anything and about anything concerning them in the industry. This company wrote to us last year and seeking an opportunity to address the portfolio committee on some developments in the gold industry. In their view, there are developments that have got a potential to cripple the industry. There are certain countries that have targeted South Africa, so then we felt that let's give them the opportunity and the space to listen to them and indeed engage on their views regarding the gold industry and any other views for that matter, you know, pertaining to the gold industry, because they are operators in the industry, and therefore it's important for us to then give them that space. Then on the 3rd of March, the expectation is that the department would brief us on their strategic plan. Basically, this is the expectation by all portfolio committees throughout Parliament, that on that date, the departments must appraise Parliament on their strategic plans. On the 5th of March, we're looking at the department briefing us on the Auditor General's report, which was apparently tabled. I think Secretary would have to find us that report. Was apparently tabled by the Office of the Auditor General in Parliament in December. A report that looked at the state of the ownerless and derelict mines and the rehabilitation process thereof, slowness of that process, the impact that it has on the environment, the impact that it has on the health of the people residing within close proximity of mines, and in fact, the Auditor General raising his displeasure on how the matter of rehabilitation is being handled. So on that day, we will listen to the department and on how are they handling the situation, what is their response on that Auditor General's report. So would ask you to note, Secretary, that members must receive that report so that well before that day they are able to familiarize themselves, so that when the department briefs us, then necessary questions and engagement are provided. On the 10th of March, there is this international case launched by the Italian mining companies, where they were laying a claim that at the advent of the enactment and the promulgation of the MPRDA, that is a direct expropriation of their rights in their own interpretation, and therefore it was without compensation, as expected and enjoined for by the country's constitution. But the wisdom of taking the case and launching it in the international courts is what we do not know, which we would want to understand. Apparently, the mineral resources and trade and industry are handling that case. I hope members have followed this, because mm-hmm. when the case, you know, started to come into the public domain, we gave you copies mm-hmm. of the newspaper cuttings that basically informed the nation about this development. And well, indeed, there are news that those Italian companies have withdrawn. But whether that is formal, whether that is an out-of-court settlement, I don't know. Therefore, on that day, the Department of Trade and Industry and the NDMR would appraise us, because that kind of action has got a fundamental impact on the work that we're doing. If through the international courts, MPRTA would be found to be unlawful, we must understand what does that mean if the case goes on. If indeed, you know, those companies are granted, you know, their claim in terms of the compensation, they are basically claiming 600 billion euros as compensation. And indeed, that means, you know, quite a substantial amount of money that the country would be held liable if they are found to be on the right, you know, course. Therefore, we would need to understand, because this is the law that we are overseeing as this committee. And following that, because this matter is also in the domain of the Department, the Ministry of Constitutional Affairs and Justice, we have made a request to the minister and his legal team to come and give us the expert analysis of the impact of such an action on South African laws, for that matter, decided outside of our borders by a legal body. Whether that body has got jurisdiction over our country, what does that do to the sovereignty of this country, and also what does this mean for the constitution of the country. So then we'd want them to give us that, because today it might be this case, tomorrow it might be another company, the other day it might be somebody else from another sector. So those are the 2 days that we would be then seized with this matter. And whether it is withdrawn, still would want to know what was the basis of the initiative, and what are the settlement arrangements. If it is settled, if they have withdrawn, why have they withdrawn? And in future, you know, the very same questions we have in terms of the sovereignty of the country and the jurisdiction of those courts over the country would have to be clarified. We are not legal people. Maybe Advocate Schmidt would assist us in that day with also his own expert knowledge of laws of international nature, so that we understand what is it that we're dealing with and the impact of these actions, you know, to the country as a whole. So we would be expecting to be then appraised in those 2 days by those departments. On the 17th, we are expecting to receive a follow-up briefing from the department. If you would recall, last year in one of our meetings, they did brief us on the existence of the state-owned mining company, which they said it was registered way back in 1944. Then at that stage, details were quite sketchy, and we believe that this is the right time now for us to understand exactly what are the issues at play in as far as the state-owned mining company is concerned. And then on the 19th of March, there is a big body of people out there who claim that they are not afforded the necessary space to participate meaningfully in the industry. Whether that is true, whether that is a perception, but it is out there in the public domain. And in some instances, there are uprisings by mining communities that are taking place. Now, therefore, it's only prudent for us as Parliament to afford them the space to come and appraise us of the difficulties that they are confronted with, and the department to also indeed give us in terms of their procedures and processes that they follow in basically allowing you know, the broader society to participate in the mining industry. On the 24th, we would want also to listen to from the department on the process of implementing the codes of good practice and housing and living standards. They have been gazetted before the general elections last year, and we would ask Secretary to also get these codes from government or wherever, and that members must receive them, study them, so that when that day arrives, we are already appraised on the provisions of those gazettes. And then on the 8th and 9th, we are looking at responding to, again, once more, as an activist parliament, to a request that came through from the Chamber of Mines. They have made a... Did you have that letter? Okay. They have written to us about their desire to engage Parliament. They have given us two sets of dates, one of which is 8 and 9 of April. We felt that 8 and 9 of April would be suitable. They would want to host portfolio committee, brief the portfolio committee on their operations, because they have this feeling that they have not yet had an opportunity to appraise this new parliament on who are they as the Chamber of Mines. What is it that they are doing? What are their responsibilities? What is their contribution in the industry? What are their future plans about the industry? And also for us to go and undertake, you know, some fact-finding exercise in two or three of their minds that they would take us to, because they believe that some of the things that they are doing are less known by lawmakers. And you would note, therefore, honorable members, that the 8 and 9 falls within the constituency period. This has been approved by the chair of chairs, the committee section. We need to now get the final clearance, which we don't believe that is going to be a problem. And we're making an appeal to yourself that lets us avail ourselves for this. And the department, the Chamber of Mines basically offered that they would transport us from the airport in Johannesburg to their headquarters. They would accommodate the committee members and be responsible for the transport within, between, and in between the operations. And all what Parliament would have to do is to take us there, pay for our flights to go there. So there is a tentative approval on the matter. All we need is to get the indication on the availability of members. Our wish is that all of us, because when you're going to undertake oversight, it's very important to firstly acquaint yourself with what are the developments, who is doing what. And the Chamber of Mines is almost an umbrella body in the industry. Yes, there are other federations like SAMDA and other companies that are unaffiliated, but the big body of mining companies are affiliated to the Chamber of Mines. And therefore, it's a representative body, and it's an authoritative body in terms of speaking on behalf of the miners and the producers in the industry. Therefore, we would want to get your indication, the indication of your availability for that, so that then the secretary can commence with the necessary processes of making those preparations. On the 14th of hearing of April, this is the public hearing. On the 14th of April, we're looking at calling these, individuals and organized formations that believe that they are denied an opportunity by the department to participate meaningfully. So we want to hear from them. They must appraise Parliament in terms of their difficulties and so forth, so that when we go out to conduct oversight, then we know what is it that they shall have told us. So we have set tentatively 14 and 21st of April to basically deal with that situation, and then immediately after that there will be a first term break and coming back towards the end of April. Now, as I've indicated, when we come back in our next meeting, we would then be going through the entire 5 years. But for now, we've restricted ourselves right up to April, and indeed there is an approval for that kind of work. So, honourable members, that's the proposal. And I must also say that last year we were supposed to have had a workshop which was aimed at grounding members within the industry, where we would receive what I would term as a crash course on mineral economics, basic understanding of what commodities do we have. Most people would only know that we are mining gold, platinum, and diamonds because they are in the public domain. There are other commodities. I think it's close to 50, if not more, than 50 commodities that the industry is mining. Then we need to understand that base. Secondly, we need to get a brief input on how the actual mining takes place. What happens? We see only these big machines with wheels. What is that? What does it do in the mine? You hear people talking about shafts, you hear people talking about shaft sinkers, and you hear people talking about tomakalanyan, the locomotives, the winches, all of those things. They must just give us that picture of what happens in the actual mining operation. And also, thirdly, they must also give us some information on the application of these commodities. What do you do with gold? Is it limited only to the production of rings, wristwatches, necklaces? What do you do with diamonds? We always hear diamonds are forever and all of that. Is that the only use for these diamonds? What about products such as uranium? What do we do with uranium? Of what use is that? We have ferrochrome. You have quite a number of these commodities, so we need to know how are they applied, in within the country and also abroad. Why are these countries so interested in importing our raw materials? What is it that they do with our raw materials? And briefly also look at the market. We see these prices of platinum, $1,000 per ounce, 800 $1 per ounce, and then it fluctuates and it moves, you know, on a daily basis, but it remains, you know, at the high levels at all material times. Price of gold, at what instances would the price of gold go down? And what does our currency, how does our currency impact on the price of commodities? When we talk about strong rand, we talk about weak rand, and its impact on the price of our commodities, so that briefly we understand within 2 days, you know, the industry. Surely we will not have expert knowledge, but at least we will have basic of what it is. Now, because the program is so full, and you will see when you look at the commodities report that we've got remaining in our kitty something like to the tune of 243, but I would not want to say 240 because as we hold these meetings, we're going to spend. So at least we do have an amount of about 200,000 that if we don't spend by the end of March, it's gone. Therefore, we have this need on one hand for this workshop. On the other hand, we've got this potential to lose what was allocated to us. So therefore, we want to propose that on the 14th and 15th, it's going to be a weekend. I mean, we're impinging a bit on, infringing a bit on your time, but it's a necessary cost. And we want to take you, if costs allow us, out of the city, way out somewhere in the coastal, you know, area, so that with fresh minds, breathing sea breezes, we basically absorb, you know, this information. So we're looking at Nisna or George, depending obviously on the cost. But we must decide this now, so that when we walk out of here, the secretary must start the processes. We've got again there a tentative approval, but we must put it in this week, so that when committee section sits on Friday, they then, because they are going to decide which committees have not used their money and therefore where to shift it. So fortunate for us, we were able to get that information beforehand, and hence we're putting this forward to you, that let's approve this date, and then secretary must be given a mandate to look, in actual fact, to book the trip. In a manner that we would not spend more than what we have, taking into account these meetings that we are going to hold. Honorable members, that's the program, all inclusive. These dates that I've quoted to you, 14 and 15, are deliberately not on the program, because it's a matter that is subject to your approval. Once you approve it, we'll accommodate it in the program. Thank you very much. It's for your take. Honorable Schmidt, Honorable Matibela, Honorable Magagula, that's for now.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There's just a few issues I'd like to raise. One is there seems to be an absence of legislation. There seems to be no legislation in the offing, which appears a bit strange, because normally we have a lot of bills waiting to be dealt with. The second thing is, I'm acutely aware of what they call acid mine drainage, AMD, which is now becoming a major problem, especially for the environmental.
AMD.
Yes, called acid mine drainage.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it seems to be more a function of environmental affairs, but caused by mining environment. So you have this odd situation where the mining society is creating the problem, or has created it, and environment department is going to look and try and rehabilitate. So I think we should interact with that issue sometime, if not in this program. But the other thing which I'm in support of your two-day workshop, no doubt. There's just a question mark. Mrs. Matibela and I think Eric Lucas, we all experienced miners because we went on a six-week course, I think it was, in 2004, 2005, somewhere around about then. It was called the Mining Qualifications Authority, which presented a six-week course. called the EMP course, and that literally took you to the mine. You put on a hard hat, you went down in the cage, you went to diamond mines, you went to, I think it was gold mines, the whole lot, the whole spectrum of mineral economics, from where you start prospecting to right through to eventual rehabilitation. That was a very, very interesting course. And maybe one should see whether that course still exists. And if so, for those people who have not yet done it, I wouldn't like to go through it again, because it is quite a demanding course for 6 weeks. I think 1 week per month, we went to Johannesburg and stayed in a hotel in, where was it? Johannesburg somewhere. And we had a full week of classes, and on a Friday we had a site visit. We went to the mine. But it would be good just to see whether that still exists, because if it does, it's a very good training mechanism.
Thank you very much, Honorable Makakula.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm supporting the trip for the course where we're supposed to go to. The other thing which I'm getting a bit confused here. There are two different venues. It's room 120 Plain Street. Then it's V475. I don't know what that means.
Where's that, Honourable Member?
Friday 26th from February.
Page 2.
Okay.
Go on. Yes. So I just wanted to know whether it's, if we can't find that one, then we have to go there. I don't know what that is. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Makabun. Thank you, Chair. The one is that I'm also supporting the date of the 14th and the 15th for the course. Number two, Chairperson, in our program, in our draft program, there is no upgrade program. So, but we hear you speaking about some activities that will take place on upgrade. So I think we are lost on that.
Thank you, Sir, Honorable Tinto, and noted, Honorable Lucas.
Okay. Let's hope you can hear me. Chairperson, there are people like myself who belong to more than two communities, and that makes me not always available for the portfolio of overcrediting. But I think if we can have the program next year, look at other communities, what are their programs, so that we have an integrated program. That's my question. That we make a program, and we can look at other communities, what are their programs.
Thank you, Honorable Lucas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's one thing that always bothered me, and that is the small-scale miners in the Kimberley area. I think they have been grossly neglected, because we talk, and we haven't implemented anything there to see them get off the ground. And there's been such... And the bottom line is expertise and financial restraints. What are we going to do about that?
Okay. Yes?
Before I leave, I'd like to state the issue that was said by Mr. Schmidt of legislation. If you remember sometime last year, we did have different legislation which we need to focus on. And I also still maintain that we need to have, even if it means we group these legislations, or even if it means we perhaps, based on the five key priorities, we split them up in terms of priorities of needs. Because some of them do need our attention, they need our review. And if you remember, we still have an outstanding issue on, in particular, the legislation on occupational health, which we are not getting to conclude. And if I'm not mistaken, at some stage last year, the department had promised that they'd come back to us so that that piece of legislation could actually be finalized, and that hasn't happened thus far. I also still maintain that it should be key, it should be one of our priorities, the issues of legislation, because we're going to meet a lot of obstacles when we have to start handling all the other challenges that we're faced with in MR. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Whilst you're walking out, let's clarify the matter of legislation. When the department briefs us on their strategic plan, there has to be a section there that says to us what pieces of legislation from their side will be brought to Parliament. And then honourable members here will scrutinise that if there are pieces of legislation expected, like the one you're talking about, and they are not contained in that section of their state plan, then we would then include it ourselves. And any other legislation that we would want to initiate ourselves as the portfolio committee will have to find space in that section. So for now, we said nothing about legislation because we're waiting on the department to basically say to us in their plans what pieces of legislation are they looking at bringing before Parliament. And then we start scheduling, you know, on the basis of that, because you may provide for legislation and the next thing the bill never comes and then we're found wanting. So at least on that score, let's hold it on until we then get that that plan. Thank you very much. Well, Honourable, Honourable Ngale.
A question about the program. Now that you have added more days, what is going to happen to people who have more than one committee? Because if we meet on Wednesday and Friday, which other days would be for other committees?
Thank you very much. Honourable Schmidt, I think we dealt with the issue of the legislation, that we're just waiting for that briefing on the strat plan. We will take on board the issue of the asset mine drainage. But also please reserve this question and raise it when we deal with that Attorney General's report, which deals with the rehabilitation of mines, as a way of sizing up the department in terms of what are their plans on this matter, what role do they intend planning. And out of those interactions, then we can then see if we must schedule it in the second term, in terms of our program. But definitely, it will find its space if there are no satisfactory answers that were provided. The six-week course, thank you very much for raising that. We are going to check with MQA. If they still offer it, then they must give us on how they schedule it, you know, they spread the 6 weeks. And indeed, over this period of a year or so, we can include that. And also they must come and actually give us briefing on how they run it, so that members can be informed and that we schedule it accordingly. It's a very important and good cause, I know about it, but indeed I can't say it right now that MQA still runs that. We would have to then find that out from them. Honourable Matibela, two venues. Secretary or something?
We booked two venues. So we're going to take the bigger one, 6475. On the notices, we're going to put the actual venue for the day.
Okay, thank you very much. Honorable Makakula, the issues that I referred to about April, when we discuss the five-year program, are going to appear in our program. But for now, it was just to take them to their logical conclusion. That once you have received the briefing, the intention is to create space for those public hearings. So as a result, yes, those dates are going to be reflected on the second term program. Remember that there is a parliamentary program which has been worked out by the programming committee, which is a multi-party committee. They've given us for the first term what are the dates for committees, what are the dates for the sitting of parliament and all of those. So we just based the first term on that, and they're going to produce the second term, and we'll also have to align ourselves to that as well. So that information is out there because it comes from the programming committee. But I think in anticipation of the work we're going to do, it's better that members now know, because you are approached by people in your constituencies or even outside of your constituencies. There are people who are approaching you because they know that you serve in the portfolio committee on mineral resources. So you need to have an answer and also prepare them that in April, if they want to come before the committee, you advise them to contact the secretary so that we schedule them to basically give them slot in here. That's why, you know, we're disclosing this information up front so that people are not ambushed, because it may take preparatory work for them, and those who cannot come on their own steam may want to make requests to be assisted to get to Parliament. So it's on those bases that we go slightly to April. Honorable Tito, I think the matter will be raised with the programming committee. You know, at first they clustered these committees. We've got cluster A, cluster B. But you just don't know why would still be continuous clashing of dates. It's an issue that we will take up because indeed it also makes the life of members very extremely difficult to leave the meeting in the middle like Honorable Mikani had to do, and not to even be there because you're losing out on the contribution that you should have made on very important, you know, matters. So we'll take this up, because it might be difficult if we leave it to chairperson because chairpersons, you know, make proposals for programs on the basis of what they want to do. And they might, you know, not be able to tamper with what Parliament has laid down. That's why I'm saying that we'll refer it to the programming committee and see how best to bridge this. Honorable Lucas, the issue of the small-scale mining, you will pick up in our five-year program that we do make provision to tackle this subject matter. But I think also when we deal with the matter of meaningful participation of formerly disadvantaged individuals, as they are explained in the MPRDA, you know, people would have to familiarize themselves that. So we would have to also, you know, ask the department on the work that they are doing. Do they still have processes of incubating these small-scale miners? What is the financial model that they deal with? If we have to call IDC, if IDC is the financing arm, we'll call IDC here for them to tell us what kind of assistance do they give these people or anyone else that is supposed to be offering funding so that indeed it becomes meaningful. Because you can't say to people forever and ever. That's why we say this must be an activist parliament. If you have put the matter before us, we must follow it to its ultimate conclusion. If the problem is funding, let's correct that. And let, you know, this, because it's one thing to say, here are the rights, we're granting you rights, and the next thing, you don't put these people in proper position for them to can be able to enter and participate in the market. So we'll have to deal with that. But please also remember when we are approved by the department to raise this sharply so that we get, appraised by the department on that issue. Especially, I know that they did have a unit within the department that was responsible for this. Whether it's still in existence, it's something that they must tell us. If it does exist, what does it do? Because also you have also ventures like women in mining. Are they really women in mining?
Mm-hmm.
Are they being assisted? Are they being given the expertise? Are they being given the necessary financial backup for them to be able to enter the mine? Or is just, a philosophical, policy position that never gets implemented? So we need to get into grips with those things so that we then leverage whatever is there for us to enable, those categories of people to have a meaningful participation in the industry. We dealt with the issue of legislation. On the matter of the added days, Honorable Mangele, there was this complaint from the whips of different political parties, including the chief whip of the majority of the ruling party, that when they sit down and analyze the work of parliament and time that we spend in doing parliamentary work, we are found wanting. In fact, parliament is alive on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and that's it. So looking at the backlog of many things that we have to do, then they took a decision. In close analysis, they felt that Friday is nearly a free day. It's those odd committees that decide to schedule. And hence, in their program, they then said, let's add on Friday. So it's up for grabs. That's why we scheduled, meetings for a Friday. And indeed, when they approve these programs, they are led by the clusters. They look at clusters, cluster A and cluster B,
mm-hmm.
and they avoid granting or approving the program where they see that there's an obvious clash between the two. Of course, there are certain, committees that would slip through the cracks, that would not be caught by that net. But their principal position is that they would avoid this clash of meetings. So hence we then grab the opportunity, and indeed they have approved it. We hope that it doesn't clash with other committees necessarily within our cluster. But it's a time that has been added for parliamentary work to be enhanced in this fashion. I think over time, because it's a new situation, over time it would improve. They would then, once they realize that there are clashes, they would then maybe give us a different instruction on exactly how to program and what to do. But for now, they've just said, please include Fridays in order to do parliamentary work. Colleagues, with those responses, if there's still something that you would want to raise on the program, I take it that it's a unanimous agreement that the 14 and 15, we must go ahead. So that application must be done and be submitted the earliest tomorrow morning. Today I must receive it and sign it and then get it in. Honorable Lucas?
That is really concerning. Oh, maybe I should just remark about the Friday. The biggest problem with Friday is that everyone is wanting to get home. So you find that by 12 o'clock, whatever you're doing, it's a serious problem. But the thing that's concerning me, Martin, is that we have this coal in our country. And this coal is not good for the environment. However, we export this coal to different countries outside the country. I think we should seriously look and see how we can use this coal. How can we make it environmentally friendly? I think that if we can do that, because we could use it in our power stations, and it will be reduce the expenses as its cost, because it is the cheapest way of generating. But it's got to be environmentally friendly.
Thank you. Any other second advice?
Sorry. Let me phrase it quickly. I think one of the most important factors for successful mining is beneficiation. And it struck me after Mr. Lucas started talking. And it's how you phrase that beneficiation. In other words, will you ensure that coal is washed, if I understand, it's given a value, if you wash it, and before you sell it on? If you mine gold, that you do something with it before you sell it on. That diamonds, that you cut and polish it here before you sell it on. You can't keep it all for yourself. You can't. You can't keep all the diamonds that's produced. You can't keep all the gold that's produced. You can't. But the beneficiation, in my view, is the answer for adding value and ensuring that people get value from what is mined. So I think, if I may, just would ask you to put beneficiation down as an important topic for discussion, because we need to understand how we can add value to South African produced metals, or whatever you call it, for everyone.
Thank you very much. Any other takers? Good. No, on the issue of the, as I think you're right, we would need to spend some time looking at the coal industry. The impact that it has on the environment, the commitments that we have made in was it Copenhagen? The commitments we've made in Copenhagen, because they say what the top volume in terms of the reduction of the emission of green gas. So, indeed, it means we'll have to go into that process. And Honorable Schmidt is right, there's something called clean coal. But you will find out that because there is no strategy and policies clear enough on the beneficiation of our mineral for commodities, then the industry will tend not to spend money on cleaning coal. For instance, there are different grades of coal in our mines. There was this talk at some stage that Eskom, the reason why they emit so much, unnecessary gases into our air is because they get fed with low-grade coal. And the higher grade coal gets exported. Now, it's in the nature of business. You sell your best, production to where you get to derive the best return. It's just a business sense. But then, the country has got a responsibility towards its environment. Indeed, we would need to look into that. So yes, Honorable Schmidt, we will schedule the issue of beneficiation. There was at some stage a beneficiation strategy drafted, but we don't know at what stage is it. So yes, we will make provisions so that we are briefed on that strategy. We also create space for the industry to say to us, what is it that we are doing on beneficiating our minerals? What do you derive out of that? If you would remember, last year we were requested by Extrata for them to come and bring us. They spoke on this issue of beneficiation, and in fact almost lamenting that they are losing their market share because they have embarked on beneficiation exercise. And China, on the other hand, is gaining an upper hand in terms of, you know, the chrome that is imported, exported to them, and it comes back as the stainless steel that is sold in the country. Now, we would need indeed to delve into that issue and take a very clear position on what we want to do, both to deal with the environmental impact of our commodities, but also to basically appreciate the work that's already been done by the industry in terms of beneficiation of our. So we'll take in our program the matter of beneficiation. Any other takers?
Something out of the program. We might forget to say thank you about this beautiful sexy diary book that somebody gave us, all of us.
Who's that somebody?
I don't know, but I want to thank whoever brought it. My health and safety.
Oh, good department. Okay.
That the person who brought it to us, please carry our thousands and millions of thanks to Mind Health and Safety Council.
I haven't opened the envelope.
I
can see. Thank you very much. That shall be so conveyed. Colleagues, can we take it that the program is approved as has been discussed? Any movers? Madam Tindo, Advocate Schmidt. Lucas, let's go back to the package. The package. You will notice that the minutes are packed in sequence, starting from the very first meeting we held on Thursday, the 18th of on Thursday, the 28th of May in 2009. The exercise of the business of the day was to indeed put the structure in its place. What I would want us to do is to do them package by package, so that on a particular set of minutes, we make our comments, we approve, we reject, but I don't know what will the purpose served on rejecting them. We must apologize on behalf of the committee section. That you would remember that these are records that we have been calling for. It's going to put you in a very difficult position now to remember almost a year ago. What did we say? But I will rely on your wisdom, but also making this commitment that we will, after every second meeting, produce sets of minutes, run them through, so that whilst issues are still fresh in our minds, we then, you know, deal with minutes, so that they then indeed represent a true reflection of the deliberations of the day. So I know that it's going to put you in a difficult position, but please, you still remember certain areas with this hope that this will not occur again. And I think everybody is aware of the problems we had with the Secretariat Services in last year. So the first set which we deal with
is... I just could say, why don't we accept all these minutes? Because there's nothing much we can do with them now. With a rider that they came to leave it at that. Because I don't think, how are we going to spend the whole day going through these minutes and then talk about it and then what?
That's the view. Honorable Matibela and Makagula. Press that thing.
Thank you, Chairperson. even though I agree, I have to say something here. My name has been omitted. The day when you were elected, I was present. Thank you.
Yes, I just want to agree with Comrade Lucas. Honorable Lucas. really, this pack, I think it can take us from now up to late today. And let us just all adopt this means, and then for the sake of time, but we already felt that, no, what is here is something that we take with that. So I move with the view of Honorable Lucas. Thank you.
For the sake of time. Honorable members, there's this view that has been moved and seconded that here are the minutes, given the problems we had with Secretariat Services. But indeed, the move is that we adopt them, and then the chairperson signed them so that they can then be properly recorded. Any objecting views to those? Honorable Marais?
I just want to ask the committee clerk to follow up on the 1 minute of the 18th of November, Wednesday, the last one.
The very last set.
The last set. I'm sure I was present in that one. So I will consult my diary as well, but if you just can check for me, I will appreciate that one.
Okay. Yes?
I just said, I'm sure I was present on that day. That means, no, you will consult his diary. Chairperson, I think, well, let us go with the view of agreeing that we adopt the minutes. I think.
Yeah. Thank you. Right. No, honorable members, I think, yes. I mean, there's a way out. On this matter. It's not a matter that we have to deliberate over and over and fight about. It's agreed to the adoption. I have powers to sign this minute. Let's agree that between now and Friday, if there's anything that any member picks up for correction, because it would be unfair not to reflect the attendance of members, because some of these decisions down the line in terms of the parliamentary processes might have impact, and indeed there would be a demand that let's see the minutes, who was present, who was not present, and why. And for instance, if his party says, no, we don't know that thing, committee section must be able to say, oh no, Honorable Marais was present in the meeting. So it's important. The attendance is not likely, because there are decisions taken in meetings, like we have taken decisions today. So can we therefore agree that between now and Friday, if there are any corrections, send them through to my office so that we can then effect them, and then on Friday, Secretary, with whatever you have received, let's handle them, and then I will sign them. Can we live with that, mm-hmm. so that we allow people to then be able.
To avoid this in future, I think we must make it a practice that today's meeting, these minutes are adopted as in next meeting. Make it our prior practice. That will be safer.
No, I think we have already made that commitment that we had those challenges, but now we offer you that we we have gone through that hell. Then let's come to the item dealing with the report on the activities. It's within that package, so you have not necessarily escaped the entire package. We were dealing with minutes, and then there is that. In the main, those activities, it's an activities report indeed, you know, it gives us the reflection of the state-owned enterprises reporting to the department, the bills, and it says what happened to the bills, because we didn't have any bills, international agreements. I think here it's a matter arising that we made this call and we would still want the department to give us, because in more than one occasion, issues of, for instance, even on this case that we're talking about by the Italian mining companies, part of, you know, their basis, as we understand, is that they claim that there is a treaty that was signed between them and the government of South Africa. What is that treaty? What did it say? What commitments were made? We need to know. So I think not only that, but any other international treaties, we need to know as a committee. So if Secretary can make a follow-up with the department that in their strategic plan, they must include these international agreements and treaties so that we are not caught off guard. Well, sometimes we may, as parliamentarians, comment on things, reject certain things. Meanwhile, there's a commitment made without us knowing. So therefore, it's important that we are appraised on those treaties that affect us as the portfolio committee. Then it gives the oversight trip. We dealt with that report. We have adopted it. And then it deals with the meeting. And it deals with the again, continues with the meeting, minutes of whom we've just adopted, and so forth. So, if you pick up anything, please raise your hand. Then it gives us the financial statement. Just briefly to say that we spent our money, in most instances, on catering and a small portion on transport of people that came for public hearings, and the bigger portion of the expenses were on the oversight trip. You will remember that this trip was one of the trips that we don't desire. Members who were there, never again. Again, it was the challenges. Remember that? We were in a meeting. you would remember that again, it was on the challenges of the Secretariat Services. You know, we had to chop and change. It was just a bizarre situation. And you see that cost is part of that mismanagement. Don't be surprised one time when we called Pascopa to say to us he spent nearly 200,000 on a trip that would otherwise have cost half of this amount. So, indeed, we will defend ourselves because we have written a letter to committee section to say that this is what had happened and this is our displeasure on what had happened. This is our displeasure on what had happened because we were subjected to a treatment that is completely out of order. And we didn't hide that. We are parliamentarians, and parliament is about us, not about some official sitting somewhere taking some decisions. And hence we said, if things must change, we will change them. If laws must change that make them to have powers more than us, we will change that law. And as a result, we have now a bill that allows parliament to tamper even with the budget. Because you can't have this anomaly where officials, bureaucrats, tell you what to do. Being parliamentarian, given mandate to govern, and you get people when you want to do some things, then they must either approve or not approve. It can't work like that. Again, we have said, come April, we're going to be given a budget as this committee. I don't want to get approval from anybody in spending that budget. We must run this committee in a manner that we see fit. We will account for whatever expenses that we enter into, and we're not babies here. You can't even, when you want tea, coffee, somebody else must tell you, this is approved, this is not approved. We've raised this thing in the meeting between ourselves and the parliamentary management to say, must come to an end. We are not here by chance. If we are not educated, tough luck. We are leaders. We are legislators. They will listen to what we say and do what we want done. As long as it is lawful, that's the only impediment. If it's unlawful, they must tell us and point us to the relevant section of the law that says this is unlawful. So, because even when we inaugurated, we you know, members would remember, we were put up in the process in Johannesburg. In a process. Meanwhile, the staff members here of Parliament slept in 5-star hotels. All members, I mean us, the opposition members, also when they walked in there, they said, oh, if this is the place that we're going to be sleeping at. And we had to throw our toys and call and woke up people who are responsible for decisions to come. And they came. And then they changed. They take those staff members out of the plush hotels and put members of parliament. So we indicated then that there will have to be paradigm shift. We are not going to be small boys for officials. Absolutely. And when we say this is an activist parliament, we mean the term to the latter. And then we are not going to beg anybody. So I'm saying, therefore, here we might be called by SCOPA, but we will explain because we have got written evidence of what happened. And that's why we said to the committee section, change this person. If they didn't change him, we would have chucked him away in this meeting. Clearly. Because we're not here to play marbles and games. If we fail, we must fail on our own, not through other people. So I think there are some turbulences that are going to occur, but we will sail smooth through them. So, colleagues, I'm saying, therefore, that there's the financial statement in terms of that report, but engage with this, with that understanding that we are going to change things for the better in order to enable us to do our work the way we want to do it. Yes. Comments?
It's a very brave stand to take. And if you're going to take this responsibility over, it must be done properly. Otherwise, it's going to be a waste. Mustn't find before the end of the year we're short of funds, overspend something. It must be done properly.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Chairperson. You know, sometimes the committee has funds, but you are not given those funds. They just say, no, you have, but we're going to give them to so-and-so. That was what was happening. Thank you very much for being so bold.
Thank you very much. How are we doing time-wise? You want to go and prepare your response in advance or for the budget? Anything else? Announcement? Nothing. Colleagues, that concludes our business.
I'm going to have a meeting in this room again. Will we get another chance? Because there's a beautiful view here.
The next meeting is going to be in G26 on Friday. Hey? Well, unfortunately, we were told that there's a challenge in terms of venues in Parliament. There are more committees than there are venues. so even we are in competition. That's why we said last time the secretary we had has not basically been serving us, you know, optimally. Because every time he would bundle us in 90 Plain Street, in that height there, and we hope this time around, secretary, you will, as you have indicated, as you have shown, you know, we'll get venues. We don't mind from time to time going there if there's no venues available, but not to be banished in the 90 Plain Street because of laziness of a secretary to basically book us venues. So unfortunately, if we could choose, we could choose one of the venues where there are cameras. We were contesting that there's one committee that seems to be prioritized for those venues, the finance committee. Would always get old assembly of E249. And we said, we asked why. What is so special about them particularly? And they told us, no, problem is here, your secretary. The sharper they are, the quicker they are, they snatch the venue. That venue is not for one committee. So yes, we can have a venue. But what we were told by the committee, Secretary of Parliament, was that they are working on the process, this first parliament, to finalize the work started by the second and third parliament, to get a new parliamentary precinct across the road. The intention, they say, is to ensure that they get additional committee rooms, so that if you say mineral resources, whoever is coming from where goes to that venue. That would be for mineral resources and nothing else. And also such venues will be installed with the necessary equipment so that there's uniformity. You know, nobody wants to discuss things in corners like we're doing. Also we would like limelight when we handle matters so that they get beamed out there. So they said that they are working, there is an initial approval to basically ensure that that happens. So we're hoping that before the end of this parliamentary term, we will be able to see the light of those venues. If we miss it, then the fifth parliament will be the lucky ones to get their venues allocated specifically for them, equipped completely. Because the other thing was that there was a which we were informed of was that there was some form of skirmish about the Kudok Chamber. It was renovated, it's nice, it's big, and then presidents wanted it for itself. And then Parliament stood its ground to say, no, this is Parliament. This is not a union building. You can't chuck us out in our own backyard. Can use that exclusively. You book it like others, like portfolio committees are doing, which was a good, standpoint from them. You know, because indeed you can't have a particular area because it's renovated, it's nice, and then it's designated for. So I'm saying therefore, even the presidency can't have that exclusively for them. So that's the problem with the venues. But there's a hope that they are working on this thing, which will resolve the problem. Because sometimes this does not, affect us as members of parliament alone. People who come from outside, it's very difficult to negotiate this complex. I'm sure members who have been here before us, they are also still finding it odd sometimes to locate a particular venue. So it's a nightmare. So you told new wing, you told old wing, and so forth. So, yes, they work on those things. Anything else, honorable members, before we close? All right. Thank you very much for your attendance.